Chris.
Marcus.
We're back.
Welcome back, sir.
Welcome back to me. I'm back in Arizona. I'm not in Alabama this time. We're in a different spot.
We're glad to have you back.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'm happy to be back, Chris. Where are we back at?
We're here in Chandler.
Chandler.
We are at Marley's.
Marley's.
Chandler Fashion Square Mall.
Chandler Fashion Square Mall.
The podcast is back home.
A little pocket awareness for back. It's Super Bowl week, Chris. It's the end of the football season. Here we go.
What happened this year, man? I blinked. It's over.
This year has gone by really fast. I will say that. So, we're back once again. ALPA underscore QB1 is the Twitter. Make sure you follow us there. ALPA underscore QB1 is the Instagram. Make sure you follow us there. A little pocket awareness on Facebook. Go ahead and like that page. Go to iTunes. We got on iTunes. We got a little pocket awareness. Hit the subscribe button on iTunes. Make sure you check us out. Leave us a review, please. Spotify. A little pocket awareness. Hit the download button. We're everywhere right now, Chris. We're everywhere.
You can't look somewhere and not find us.
Exactly. You can't look somewhere. You can't find us. We are everywhere. So make sure you keep checking us out. And follow the podcast. And today we got a couple things to talk about. I mean, we had a little really sad week here. Start off with the sad news, man. We gotta say,
it doesn't matter what sport it is. I think everybody across the globe is just kind of reminiscing about Kobe Bryant.
It's a sad day, man. It's RIP Kobe Bryant. I'm sure everybody knows the news by now. Kobe Bryant passed away in a horrific helicopter crash, him and his daughter and seven other people. Very sad news, very sad time. So our prayers go out to Kobe and his family.
And to all the families as well. I mean, that's just
his family. All the families.
A lot of families that lost parents and kids.
Yeah, man.
There's a lot of families that are just going to be kind of left it with some empty voids. And that's just tough. I think one of my favorite things that I saw on social media was hashtag girl dad.
Yeah.
And Marcus, you can speak to that. You got
I got three daughters, man. I got one that plays basketball too, so it's, you know, it did hit a little home for me in that aspect. You know, it's just when you have a daughter like that, and you know, especially with the future that she had, I feel like she's about to be the first millionaire WNBA basketball player.
Yeah, she definitely had the future.
She had a super future in it, and it's kind of just, it makes it just even sadder, dog. And you know, and it's something they did all the time, something routine. You flew the helicopter all the time, and, you know, it's just terrible. So, you know,
can't take anything for granted.
You cannot take anything for granted. And, you know, Kobe definitely gave us a lot of memories. He man had the five championships, MVP. He had his great tour when he went around and, you know, I got a standing ovation in basically every single stadium he went to.
Absolutely. The first person to ever get comparisons to Michael Jordan that were legitimate.
Legitimate, yeah.
Legitimate comparisons to Michael Jordan.
Legitimate. I mean, I wasn't the hugest Kobe fan back in the day because I used to hate how he used to make every shot. And he never missed in the fourth quarter. I used to hate it. I hated it. I can't even lie. Just as a fan, I appreciated it, but I just wish he didn't play against my team. That was my thing with Kobe. I did not want him to play against my team because I always felt like that he had that will, man. Like he was not gonna lose. And
you know, he was one of those players that I never got to see in person because he played in the Western Conference, and I grew up in the Midwest and the Eastern Conference with the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, I got to see Jordan because Chicago, but I don't think I ever got to see Kobe play a game live. And just, he's one of those generational, I don't even want to call him a generational talent. I want to call him a generational just person.
Like, yeah.
He's at that level. Like, when you talk about generational sports athletes, he's there. You can compare him to Jordan. You can compare him to Muhammad Ali. The effect that he had just on people.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. It's such a horrific accident. Such a horrific time. especially for the NBA world, for the whole sports world. I mean, it's just
sports everywhere. I mean, it's global. He expressed his appreciation for AC Milan. For a soccer organization across the Atlantic Ocean, and they even took time to acknowledge his passing and did a little memory, something in his honor as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a man that transcends sports, and he was a global icon.
Yeah, he's a global icon. I mean, he spread the game internationally. He's probably one of the most popular sports figures in America. He's, he might be even more popular than Michael Jordan was at this point. Globally, yeah.
You know what? I think that's a fair thing to say, and I think that I think it'd be hard to disagree with that.
Yeah, I think he had a really great career. His career after that, he won an Oscar for his animated films.
Yeah.
His children's books. He had a lot of things he liked to get into. I used to always appreciate his details on ESPN Plus. He used to do to break down like the NBA game. So he was always showed off his knowledge. It was just a legend, man. He's just a pure legend.
Well, and he made his mark on this year's Pro Bowl game.
Yeah.
To bring it back to football.
Yeah.
I mean, you pointed this out, and I'd like you to expand on your point of, I mean, when the news broke and it was being told to the players on the field, the game changed.
Yeah, the game fully changed to me. I thought it was one of the most exciting Pro Bowls I've watched. And I used to just put the Pro Bowl on the background because I miss football and it's just on in the background. But I actually started watching it in the second half. Like when T.J. Watt sacked, when Calais Campbell sacked Kirk Cousins like it was a real game, I was like, okay, you guys are really playing. I don't think you're supposed to sack him. He like sacked him, took him down to the ground, and strip sacked him.
Yeah.
And then T.J. Watt took it all the way to the house, and they did a big old like celebration at the end. I'm like, yeah, that game changed a lot.
Yeah, it changed, and I mean, just kind of in the honor of Kobe Bryant, one of the most ultimate competitors in sports.
Yeah.
Brought competition to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the least competitive games you can find, and he brought pure competitives there. So that was great for the NFL fans and the fans that were there. They got to see an exciting game. So really happy for the NFL and the Pro Bowl for doing that. But you know, kind of thanks to Kobe for that too, as well. You know,
gotta tip your hat to Kobe once again.
Yes, for sure. All right, Chris, so let's keep it moving. Let's talk about
I mean, it's tough to transition on something like that.
I know, man. It is.
Especially when it's somebody that's not even involved in the NFL, but
it's awful.
We can bring it back here with one of the big pieces of news that broke while you were still in Alabama.
Yes, while I was in Alabama.
Mr. Eli Manning. I think I saw Tom's ears perk up a little just cuz I spoke those words.
Eli Manning
announced his retirement.
I see.
It was predictable, Marcus.
It was predictable.
What did we have earlier? A few episodes.
They probably
ago.
Straight up told him. See, I don't think it was predictable.
No. I don't. I'm gonna. Okay, go say what you gotta say, and then I'll
Chris, because you gotta think about this, right? They hired a new coach, right? Hire a new coach. Get the offensive coordinator in. They get all the coaching staff in. Everything's set. Everything's set going forward. After everything's set going forward, Eli Manning retires. Okay? So everything is set going forward. New coach, new offensive core, new everything, new system. You know they had a meeting with Eli because Eli's probably the most respected Giant right now in the past 20 years, right? Most respected Giants player. Everybody respects Eli Manning. Got them 2 Super Bowls. They love him there. You know they had to sit down with him. You know they had to explain, we're moving on with Daniel Jones. They had, you know they told him that.
Get it out,
we're
Marcus.
We're moving on with Daniel Jones.
You think that he didn't know that? You think they had to sit down and tell him we're moving on? You don't think that happened last year?
I think he had an idea.
You think he had an idea? Marcus.
He had an idea, but maybe he was thinking that maybe I had a, like, Kurt Warner, because you got to think about it with Kurt Warner, okay? I'll give you a perfect example. Kurt Warner with the Cardinals. Kurt Warner was the quarterback there. Matt Leinart gets drafted. Kurt Warner doesn't play well at the beginning of the year. Matt Leinart takes the job. Matt Leinart plays the rest of the year. Okay? Kurt Warner, Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart starts the season the next year. But Kurt Warner keeps playing, right? Matt Leinart gets hurt. Kurt Warner comes in. Kurt Warner starts playing pretty well, right? Then they're in a situation where do we play Matt Leinart or Kurt Warner? And they keep playing Matt Leinart, and they switch back and forth, and it doesn't work out the season. The next season, there's a competition. We got Matt Leinart versus Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner wins, Cardinals in the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, it's there. If, like, I want to keep playing, maybe I could be the backup, and I could wait till this rookie, who I don't think is very good, might mess up, and I might get my job back. There's some aspects to it. So I think if he might have been sat down and been like, hey, we're moving on. You're not getting a new contract. We're going to let you go.
Marcus, I like your comparison there, trying to do the whole Matt Leinart and Kurt Warner
thing. I'm just saying.
How many years ago was that for the New York Giants?
That was 12 years ago.
12
no,
years
no,
ago?
No, actually 15, 14.
15 years ago. The NFL was a little different back then, right? A little different back then. When you drafted a rookie quarterback in the NFL back then, what did you do with that rookie quarterback? You sat him.
And you paid him a lot.
And you paid him a lot. You paid him a lot of money to have him sit there on the bench until you felt that he had the ability to stand on his own.
Yes.
That was the NFL of the past.
Okay.
In the NFL of today, that is not the case. When you draft an NFL quarterback in the first round, the expectation is for him to start as soon as possible. As soon as possible. So, just drafting Daniel Jones was the writing on the wall for Eli Manning. Just drafting him.
I understand.
Writing on the wall for Eli Manning. So, in the offseason last year, the conversation that you are talking about that you thought they may have had here with sitting down Eli Manning, that happened last year when they drafted Daniel Jones. They
yes.
said, Eli, you got the opportunity. You got the opportunity for your swan song season right now. Right now. Here it is. This is it. You got it.
I don't agree with that, Chris, but keep going. I'm going to let you get your point out.
And then the season started, and then they just completely folded. Completely folded. So then they told Eli, you know, we really appreciate what you've done for the organization.
Okay.
We're going to let you go out here this last year. It's no longer your swan song. You're not going to go to every stadium. They're not going to make a chair out of bats for you and present it to you in the pregame like they did. Who was that? Roger Clemens?
When
yes. They did that, all the hoopla. You're not going to go into a new stadium and they're going to give you something. You're not going to have that because you're not starting anymore.
Yeah.
You're regulated to the backup role, and we'll help make a decision with what you're going to do with the organization in the future.
Okay.
That conversation happened in the beginning of this season. So when they came to the offseason here, they were trying to figure out the best way for him to go out as the giant that he is for that organization.
Okay.
They wanted to make sure there was some stability first. And once they set the stability with signing all the coaching staff, then they said, Eli, now's your time. Now the spotlight's on you. Have the pomp and circumstance now. Retire.
See, I don't think it like it. I don't.
You and I, are gonna
I don't
disagree.
Agree that
you and I are
they
disagree.
Were for sure thinking we're going to play Daniel Jones early. I think their plan was to play Eli all year.
I agree with you, but
right?
Because of how quickly they stumbled and failed, they made that change, and they had the conversation with Eli then. Listen, it's over. You are backup. You aren't going to get the swan song that we had planned because
yeah.
This is the NFL in 2019, 2020. And this is the way that the life is nowadays.
Didn't Eli win more games this year than Daniel Jones?
I mean, you're not going to get an argument out of me. I don't know the stat on it. I think that you
we,
might
We got to ask correct. Tom on this. Tom, we got we need a crowd
Giant
question.
Fan. Eli won two out of the three total games. Oh, two out of three starts? Eli won two of his three starts. What was the final record there for your Giants?
Was it it's 3-13, right?
Good. What was it? You got 4 or 5. So Eli
See?
Pretty much matched the wins for Daniel Jones.
That's my thing. So let's say, okay, yeah, Daniel Jones starter. Eli just waits it out. You know, maybe he obviously believes in Daniel Jones, that he's going to be a good quarterback.
He has to say all that stuff, man. He has to say all that stuff.
So obviously Kurt Warner just saw something about Matt Leinart. He's like, I'm just gonna wait here. I'll let you get your starts out. You'll party a little bit. My startup job will be here by week 4.
No, I can't let you do that because that's a different NFL. That's a different NFL back then than it was nowadays. If Kurt Warner was in the same situation now, it would have played out completely different.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Chris. But anyway, Eli Manning retired. He's like top 10 all time, a bunch of yards and interceptions and losses and wins and probably the most inconsistent quarterback of all time. He's never been a top 5 quarterback at any time to me. So what do you think, Chris? Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer?
He's going to be. He's going to be. Just for the sheer fact that he's the only person that ever beat Brady.
Yeah.
That reason alone.
I don't think we all assume that he's going to get in early. I think it's going to take a while.
I don't think it's going to happen early.
It's going
to
take a
while. The only way that it happens early is if he just happens to stumble into a Hall of Fame class that's just not strong. But I'm looking
at these
Hall of Fame classes that are about to
come. There's no way he gets in first ballot.
He's not first ballot.
There's no way.
Absolutely not.
That would be blasphemous.
Absolutely not. I would completely agree with you. That is a blasphemous.
You don't put Corner in first ballot. You got to put him in first ballot.
I would agree with you. I would definitely agree with you.
I mean, even if you do put him in, like, what precedent are we setting? Like, shouldn't Carson Palmer be in if Eli Manning gets in?
No, because he doesn't have the rings. He doesn't have the rings.
It puts an emphasis.
You know what it does? You know what it does?
What?
It puts an emphasis on a Super Bowl ring again. That's what it does. It says you getting a ring is one of the most important things in the entire world.
It's more important than anything you do in your career, basically.
If
you get two of them.
If you get two and you have an you were top 10 kind of a career, you're going to get in at some point.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, do this. Look at the Giants organization over the last 15 years. Name a Hall of Famer other than Michael Strahan.
There isn't.
So in 20 years, because I don't believe that. I don't believe that maybe as far as a Hall of Fame talent that they might have currently on the roster, we might be talking about Saquon. Maybe. So we're talking about the next. So we're talking about 20 years of the NFL's history. And you can only name Michael Strahan as a Hall of Famer for the New York Giants.
But, yeah, I agree with that. But I'm not going to act like he didn't play with no damn talent. No.
I'm not going to say that either. That's not what I'm saying.
Bradshaw was pretty damn good at that point.
I'm just saying when you talk about an organization like the New York Giants, and you look at the history of what they've had on personnel level, and you're going to tell me over a 20-year period that there's only two people that you can mention in a Hall of Fame statement, and one of them everybody's kind of like him and hawing about. I think just from the fact that he was in New York, with all the pedigree that they talked about, even when he got drafted, getting his way to get out of San Diego to make it to New York, and I'm not gonna lie, Eli handled New York pretty damn well, in my opinion.
He did.
In my opinion, he handled New York very, very well. So I think that there's just a lot more to talk about than his statistics, and those two Super Bowl rings are going to carry. They're going to carry.
I think it's going to take longer than people think.
I would.
That's what I think.
I don't think he's in the first one. I don't think he's in the second one. I think you can legitimately talk about him making it as his third time through.
I say sixth.
I feel the same way.
I think it's sixth time.
I feel the same way. And I'm going to be more intrigued to see what happens as these Hall of Fame classes that are going to be coming up here in the next few years.
Yeah.
To see who gets snubbed. Who gets snubbed is going to lead to how soon Eli Manning gets his Hall of Fame status. Because if there's some names that get snubbed over and over, it's just going to keep pushing his
Hall
of Fame opportunity.
There's no quarterbacks coming up, though.
Well, it's not about the quarterbacks. At this point, there's positional players that should be in. That really should be in. And they just keep getting pushed back a year. And that there's a few more years that's gonna cause more problems.
Yeah. Okay.
Brady gets in before Eli. And Brady's still playing. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, there's a certain period of time that you got to go without playing the game before you can even be nominated for a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You're talking about Brady still playing in the NFL right now.
Yeah, Brees retired. Brees said, I'm going to think about it. So if he retires.
That's two quarterbacks that's going to get it before Eli does. So.
Yep.
And they're still playing.
When's Peyton eligible?
I think he's eligible soon, man.
Right when
he's coming
retired,
right on it, isn't he?
He retired 2015.
It's
like next year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is he eligible
next year?
It's five,
isn't it? Or is it seven? Is it 7 years or is it 5 years? Oh, I even picked the wrong. Maybe not this next one, but the year after that.
Oh, yeah, he's first ballot for sure.
Oh, for sure. No ifs, ands, or buts.
He's out of here. But here's a question.
There's another quarterback that we're going to have a conversation about how the NFL is now versus how it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this in a previous episode. Peyton Manning, in today's NFL as a rookie, will never get the opportunity to have the career that
he's
did.
Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston's your comp?
No, I'm just saying, like, that's basically how he played for four seasons.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
He threw a lot of interceptions, Chris. He threw 20 plus, like,
listen,
twice.
Listen, I got it. I'm there with you.
So he would be getting ate up by, like, Twitter and stuff, especially with all the playoff losses.
Oh, absolutely.
They'd be tearing him
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
Tearing him up, but yeah, I think Eli's gonna get in. I just don't think it's gonna be it's not gonna be quick.
No, I agree with you. It's gonna take some time, but he will get in. You're right.
He'll get in. All right,
there's
Chris.
There's one more old quarterback that we gotta talk about before we get into that Super Bowl preview.
Okay,
and it's only because the news broke on him fairly recently. A conversation that you and I have had previously was that of Philip Rivers.
Okay.
There were two reports that came out. First one saying that the Chargers are moving on. They've made it official. They're moving on from Philip Rivers.
Yes.
The next report that came out was that the Chargers are considering franchise tagging Philip Rivers. I believe the first report much more than I believe the second report.
Why is that?
Because I think it's time for that organization, as they go into a new stadium, to move on from Philip Rivers.
They have no backup. I mean, unless they draft Justin Herbert.
I think they're drafting a quarterback this year. They're in the position where they're sitting in the draft, where drafting a quarterback is a possibility.
So they could draft Herbert.
I think Tua might drop.
Tua's not dropping.
You don't think so?
Nope.
I think the injury concern for Tua is enough that it'll put some pause on some teams. I think the Chargers' first thought is we need to get the next quarterback.
Tua's not getting past the Dolphins. I'm telling you that right now, Chris.
Was that the buzz at the Senior Bowl?
Tua's not getting past the Dolphins. I am 100% sure on that. 100% sure. He's not getting past them.
Okay.
Tua is for sure up there. Because he's going to have that pro day, and he's going to play well. And they got Ryan Fitzpatrick.
They still got Rosen, too. You know what? I'm gonna say it again. I said it before. You know what I want to see?
What?
I want to see the Packers trade a sixth-round pick for Josh Rosen.
Okay. You want to see that?
I want to see. That's what I want to see.
We'll see. But, Tua's not going getting that past five. So, basically, you're saying the Chargers are taking Justin Herbert. Is that your prediction, Chris? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying
January 28th, 2020.
I look at that roster, and I look for immediate need, and the immediate need is the quarterback position. Do you see a different immediate need for the Chargers?
Well, they're going to go Tyrod Taylor for sure.
That's fine. That's actually ideal for a guy like Herbert.
Yeah.
To sit behind a guy like Tyrone.
Yeah, and
that would actually be, yeah. You know what? I like that pick even more now. I like that even more now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you think the Chargers are gonna take a quarterback, they're taking Herbert.
I'm good with that.
I'm not all the way sold they're gonna get rid of Phillip Rivers.
No,
I'm not all the way sold on that.
You think they're gonna go in the new stadium and give him that final year like they did for Eli?
One,
that they tried to do for Eli?
Are they really going to let Phillip Rivers go revitalize his career with Bruce Arians? Because that's going to happen. So I hope they know that.
You're sticking with him.
If they send him to Tampa, Phillip Rivers is not.
There. He did move to Florida.
As bad as people try to make Phillip Rivers season. Yeah, sure, does Phillip Rivers throw picks? He's thrown picks his whole career. That's Phillip Rivers. Is Phillip Rivers still pretty damn good? He's still pretty damn good.
I'm still convinced.
He's not bad.
I'm still convinced he's out there in Indy.
He gives
them, the Colts, a nice run.
Because if he goes, that's a better fit. But I think that if he plays with, like, Mike Evans and, like, Chris Godwin and O.J. Howard, dog.
The talent around him was never the problem. The talent around him was never an issue.
I know, and he still made those guys good. But I'm just saying, with better coaching, and he'll thrive out in Tampa. I think Phillip Rivers got at least 2 years left.
Oh, wow.
He got at least 2 years left. I didn't think he was that bad this year. I think
his draft partner and Eli calls it quits, and you think Phillip's got two more years?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Eli's played better than Eli. Phillip's played better than Eli year to year.
Agreed. I'll agree with that.
From a longer standpoint. We have more good Phillip Rivers was, people were calling him a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
A year ago.
A
year ago.
You're right.
So even when they're losing, people were saying that. People were like, oh, he's top 10. So I think they're going Herbert because, one, Herbert had an awesome week at the Senior Bowl, like I predicted. And like I said, he was practicing with the Bengals. And
you still think that he might go one, huh?
And he had a great week.
Oh God.
He is clearly the best quarterback. The ball was zipping through those cold Alabama winds.
That wasn't anything that we didn't expect, though.
I know, Chris. But you know, there's a lot of people saying that, hey, they're looking at Herbert too, instead of Burrow.
You know what? You went there, so let's go ahead and go there.
Okay.
You break down what you saw at the Senior Bowl.
Okay, well, so Senior Bowl week was great.
You gave us a little quick recap. 20-minute spot on the podcast.
Yeah.
It was very good to hear. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you.
I liked hearing that while you were there. Let's double down on this. What did you come away from the Senior Bowl thinking?
I came away thinking Justin Herbert's top 10 pick for sure.
Oh, God.
Top 10 pick, top 10 all day. That's the first thing I came away with.
Well, so you're saying this based off of reaction, not your own personal breakdown?
Well, my own personal breakdown, it kind of worked like this way. So Herbert was awesome the first day. First day, absolutely terrific. He was throwing dimes everywhere. It was just – he was just balling, right? Second day, he had a good day. It wasn't the best day. A lot of checkdowns in 7-on-7. I don't like checkdowns in 7-on-7, so it's not my thing. I feel like in 7-on-7, you should be able to take your time and try to find something downfield. And I didn't like the checkdowns. I didn't like that. But the third day, bro, he was incredible. He was pretty damn good out there the third day. He's throwing dimes all over the field. He really let it know that I am the best quarterback out here. There's nobody else on my level. And he kind of really – he set the tone, bro. He let it be known that what's up, Bengals? Basically is what he said. And he had a really good week, man. He did. He had a really good week. I mean, I can't get into the meetings and stuff like that, but I bet he looked like he learned that offense pretty damn quickly.
So
and then he had a good game.
What Marcus is talking about is the week before the game – yeah. At the Senior Bowl, he had access to practice just as much as all the other. Marcus is actually if you follow him on Twitter, he is actually he's a scout. The man's a scout. So he went to the Senior Bowl for scouting reasons.
Yeah.
Had access to practice all week long. And Marcus is referring to the 3 days of practice that he was able to see before they put it together in the game. Now, yeah. Now you said that he had a good game, too.
He had a good game, too, man. He looked good during the game, too. He had a great week, bro. There's no way around it. I can't hate on him. Had a great week. Herbert solidified himself. That's why I said he's going to Chargers, bro. He's top 10 pick. He's going to go to the combine.
So you're agreeing with my initial reaction.
I think so, but I'm just saying number one pick is not out of the realm because his arm looked awesome during that week, and his arm's going to look awesome if he throws to the combine, which I could see him doing because he played the Senior Bowl. He didn't have to play in the Senior Bowl. Play the Senior Bowl. He's throwing at the combine.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. He needs to throw at the combine to really push his draft stock even higher.
And then if he throws as his pro day, bro, it's going to be tough, man. Burrow needs a good process. That's what I was saying, Chris. It's like it's a for sure thing, but we'll see.
I don't know how the Bengals. You know what? I'm not going to say it. I'm sticking with Burrow as my number one. I will continue to stick with Herbert as being my biggest bust.
Okay.
He is. If you want a comp, I'll give you a comp. Jay Cutler. That's the comp. A guy that's overconfident in his arm, and I just that's where I am right now. I got to spend a little bit more time looking over the film, but if you're gonna ask me today, he's I'm gonna comp him to Cutler.
I think it's a little rough because I think he makes better decisions than Cutler. Cutler just was terrible decision making. I'll get to these quarterbacks quickly, and then we get to the Super Bowl here. So Jordan Love, actually broke down Jordan Love. I actually finished charting him the other day, but we'll get into that another day, another topic. I'll get into a full breakdown of Jordan Love. We'll go through the prospects. Probably try to go through him one by one, and do some deep dives on him. Jordan Love, he looked like a first round pick out there.
Okay,
he did. He had a rough day the third day, but the first and second day he looked really good. First day he looked really good. Third day he was all right on the third day. So I think he has a chance to go first round. And like I said, we'll break him down. We'll break these quarterbacks down individually. I'll get more into a deep dive with him of what I really think, but I think he has a chance to go first round. He needs a really good draft process, though. Really good process. He needs really good meetings. He needs really good visits. He needs a lot of work. Other than that, the quarterbacks are okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't you, now you're talking about how the week that they had and how well that they played, but are we really – we're not talking about comparing them to some of these other quarterbacks in the draft process that we have the last few years.
Like who?
I don't see them anybody – other than Joe Burrow potentially having the comp, being able to compare against a Baker Mayfield, how we evaluated
Baker,
him.
Baker, yeah.
A Lamar Jackson, how we evaluated him.
Okay.
We had Darnold as the second best quarterback in that draft class, too. I don't think if you're going to compare these quarterback classes, this quarterback class does not compare to that quarterback class.
No. Well, without you got to add Joe and Tua in there. See, I think Herbert looked really good. I haven't broke down Herbert. I haven't charted him. He looked really good that week, Chris. I don't know.
So he made the right impressions in the spotlight.
He made a great impression.
He
so
in the spotlight.
And if I think about like comparing to the other prospects that I used to break down, it's rough. I got to think about that because Jordan Love, he's annoying. So, and like I said, we'll deep dive in them probably. Couple weeks, but we'll get into a deep dive with Jordan Love. But he's so talented. You know what I mean? He's just so damn talented.
There is a lot of talent. I'll agree
he's
with
talented,
you.
Bro.
There's a
so,
lot of talent.
So that's what I'm saying. So from a talent perspective, I don't know. This class is pretty damn talented. From a quarterback play perspective, it's different, though. So that's a different breakdown. But
okay.
Anthony Gordon, I was pretty. I thought he was going to play better this week than he did. I didn't like his arm. His arm fluttered. I thought Jalen Hurts had a pretty good week. I thought he showed a lot better than he had a really, really bad first day, Chris. His first day was awful. I ain't going to lie. His first day was terrible. His second and third day, though, he bounced back. Had some good throws, came back, looked like he was gotten to the groove a little bit. Maybe he was nervous the first day, but he didn't look bad. He didn't look bad. He looked like a guy who might go late day two, early day three. He didn't look like a undrafted guy. He looked like
I heard sixth round, but you think day two, day three?
Yeah, I think he'll go late day three. No, I mean early day three, late day two, because I really think the way he played the Senior Bowl, the way he bounced back, because he had a good game too. Like, because he could have tanked after that first beat. Chris, the first day, bro, undraftable.
Yeah.
Right? But he could have tanked, bro. He could have tanked after that. He came out there the next 2 days.
Came back.
And he looked good. And he made his week. So
okay.
Shea Patterson looked like Shea Patterson. I really don't want to go deep into that.
No.
Shea Patterson. He looked really fast.
Okay. All right.
Had some good throws on the run, but then he had some ugly throws. Steven Montez, I would not touch him with a 10-foot pole. Wouldn't do it.
All right.
No Steven Montez, Chris.
All right. No Steven Montez.
Out of Colorado, Shea Patterson out of Michigan, if you guys didn't know. If your team drafts them, they're not making the team. That's just my bold prediction. Maybe Shea Patterson will. I know it's kind of mean to Shea. He's kind of fast. You know, you maybe do something for him. Steven Montez, no. No way. Anthony Gordon, I think he's going to get drafted late, though.
Okay.
Late day three.
Okay.
So.
All right.
That's my quick Senior Bowl recap.
Quick little recap from the Senior Bowl.
All right, Chris. Now it's time to get into the big stuff.
Yeah, you know, there's just kind of, you know, maybe like a big game.
A big game this week.
Maybe.
We could have made this a whole Senior Bowl preview, but a Super Bowl preview, but, you know.
I think.
We have some other news, too.
And you made a comment to me, and this is kind of why we went against that decision. There's only so many things you can say going up to the
Senior Bowl. Yeah, everybody's heard enough.
I mean, you by now, if you don't know what these guys are bringing to the table, you must have ears plugged.
Exactly.
You're not paying attention, especially if you're listening to a podcast like this.
Yeah, exactly. So you got Niners versus Chiefs. It's going to be a big game. I mean, we can get into predictions in a little bit in a second. But we got Jimmy G versus Patrick Mahomes. Jimmy G has to show up and outplay Patrick Mahomes. That's basically how I see this game. I think the Niners defense is good, but it's not that good. It's not unstoppable.
And I think the Chiefs had practice with this type of offense last week. 2 weeks ago at this point.
Yeah.
Against the Titans.
Yes.
They already played against this game plan.
Well, I think this is a better run offense. And I noticed that they have Derrick Henry, and I get it. But I just think the scheme
is definitely
and
yeah,
the play this, caller is yes, yes, different.
Yes, I would agree with you. It's not gonna be straight power run like they are over there in Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee does do some zone runs too, but
there's a lot of trapping and off tackle that they run in San Francisco.
Yeah, so, you know, San Francisco does everything.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
They
really
do wide zone, inside zone, power lead, power O, da da da. They do everything. They do everything in the run game, and they base it basically how you play it. Basically, if you're playing it this way, they're going to do this. They're going to do that. And that's why he's a master schemer. Question is, though, is can I'm telling you, none of this other crap is going to matter. Like, the Super Bowl is cool. We can talk about defense. Is your defense going to show up? Da 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 da. What offense? What running back? Are they going to run the ball? We got two things going on here. The question is, can Jimmy G outplay Patrick Mahomes?
Answer, no.
Why this game sounds watchable on paper? I don't know. I don't know. So it's gonna be
this game covers all the spectrums of things that could be. You've got a Niners defense that's incredible. You've got a Chiefs defense that's shown up.
Yes.
Could this game hit the under? And could you see a defensive performance? Yeah, you could.
I don't think so.
You could.
There's no way.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it's a possibility. That's definitely a way the game could go. What else could happen? You got two prolific offenses. This could be 40-45. Like, there's a potential for the score to be through the roof. Oh, my God, would the NFL love that for their ratings?
Yeah, the NFL would love that for the ratings. I just don't see how this game could be close.
You think it's a blowout?
I don't think it's going to be close at all.
Wow.
So let's check out everything that the Niners do on defense. Because, all right, so they play a lot of zone defense.
And they rush with four.
Can you do that against Patrick Mahomes, Chris?
If they can get to him, yeah. But they got to get to him. Because he's susceptible to a turnover.
Yeah.
So there is a way that they can get to him and cause enough havoc.
Right? They got to get to him.
But the offense has to convert then. The offense has to convert that into points. This is different. This isn't the same. You might be able to go up 27-0 like the Niners did against the Packers. But you can't stop there. You've got to be able to put up more than 10 more points in the second half, because we saw what the Chiefs did down 24. They put up 50 points.
And that's what I'm saying, Chris. I just don't see how they're going to be able to stop the Chiefs enough. I don't see who's going to guard Travis Kelce. I don't know who's going to guard Tyreek Hill. And I know they play a lot of zone, and you can't play zone against Mahomes. But then you can't play man. I don't know how you stop him.
I don't think they're fast enough defensively.
And he's so hot right now. I just don't see how this game is close. I don't see how they keep up. I could see them, like, I could see the score at halftime being 14-10.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Right? And we're all thinking, hey, it's a great game. Great game.
And then they pull away.
And then it just, the barrage just keeps coming. They keep coming.
Yeah.
They keep coming. Yeah. And they end up putting like 30 up in the second half, and then it's 45-24.
Yeah.
So
I can't disagree with you.
That's how I think this game's going to go. That's my crazy prediction. If I had to give a score, I'm going 38-21 Chiefs.
I liked where you're at with that 14-10 first half score.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent of how it played out in the AFC Championship game. I could see the Niners going up 10-0 right away. I could absolutely see that.
Yep.
And I think you're right. It ends up being like 17-14 at halftime with the Chiefs down three.
Yeah.
And then the second half starts, and boom. Final score is the Niners get another 10 points, make it 27, and the Chiefs score 45.
That's what I'm talking.
You know what? I think you nailed it. I think that's what it is. I think that's the way to mic drop and close it out. I think that's what it is. You hear that, Taylor? We got a blowout over here. We're both saying a close first half. Maybe the Chiefs are behind. Maybe they're up like a score. And then when the second half hits, the top comes off. Chiefs blow out for a Super Bowl victory. You like that?
Yeah, I think they're going to keep the Super Bowl party going. They're going to keep the Super Bowl party going.
We're
both going Chiefs. We're both going Chiefs. I think it's Mahomes' time, man.
You know what? I'm hard pressed to disagree with you.
See, and I kind of think Jimmy G play has a Jared Goff type of game.
And
we might mess around and have a Tyrann Mathieu Super Bowl MVP type of game where he's just lurking on Jimmy.
Yeah.
He's just lurking on Jimmy. Yeah. Just, you know, just reading Jimmy. I'm telling you, that's what I feel. I feel like Jimmy, he can't hide this game.
No.
He can't hide.
And then all off season long, all the Niners hear is, do they have the right quarterback?
Can they win the big one with Jimmy?
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Yeah, Chris. All right. So we're going to cut it out a little early this week. Can't get too much into anything else, really.
No, well, there's nothing else to get into.
Nothing else really to get into.
Biggest game. Hold on. This is the last thing I want to ask you.
Okay.
You know how they do all those prop bets for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
If you got one prop bet that you're going to lock in, what's the one weird prop bet that you're going to take this weekend? You got a Gatorade color? Yeah, that's where I was going. I don't know if that made it.
Is she doing the national anthem?
Demi Lovato singing the national anthem. I got an over under at 2 minutes and 4.5 seconds. I took the over. I put it out there, and I've seen the number on other sites be a little different too. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I got excited. I've seen the number lower than 2 minutes and 4 seconds. So the last time Demi sang the national anthem, 2018, the Conor McGregor fight, she was 2 minutes and 14 seconds conservatively. So if you get a low number, I say that's where you go. You got anything fun like that?
Anything fun like that?
You got Gatorade color?
A Gatorade color? I would say my prop bet. I'll go like touchdowns is my prop bet.
Touchdowns is your prop bet?
I will go Mahomes 5 touchdowns.
Five? Five? Wow.
5 touchdowns, 350 yards.
5 touchdowns, 350 yards for Patrick Mahomes, says Marcus.
That's not crazy, guys. That's like a normal game.
It's a Super Bowl. The over-under's 4 touchdowns for Mahomes.
I will go 5.
So Marcus is taking the over.
What you got to add in there, Chris, is a couple pop passes. Don't forget the pop pass.
Yeah, yeah.
little Tyreek Hill pop pass at the 10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a touchdown pass. That's how it gets you to 5, little.
Little
pop pass right to Tariq. He just runs it in.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, I'll go 5 touchdowns Mahomes.
Okay.
Because I just don't see this game being close.
Okay.
I don't see it being close at all.
We got it.
All right.
That's how the NFL season's going to end for
us. That's how the NFL season's going to end. The terrible Chiefs are going to win a Super Bowl, and I'm super mad.
That's a Raiders fan talking right now. Man, they haven't had a Super Bowl since 1969.
I hope Mahomes makes them go bankrupt.
Oh, he's going. Yeah, that's gonna cost them a lot of money.
I hope they have to release Kelsey because they have to pay Mahomes.
He's gonna cost them a lot of money.
Oh, Kelsey becomes too expensive.
That's a big contract they're gonna have to put together.
I hope they have to let go of their guards and their tackles. All because they're paying Mahomes $45 million. So that's why I really want him to throw 5 touchdowns. I need that $45 million contract.
I see what you're doing. Okay.
Me too.
Okay, now there's an AFC West battle going on here. There's an AFC West battle going on here at Marley's.
Live in Chandler.
Live in Chandler at Fashion Square Mall.
I'm just saying. I'm hoping for Mahomes to throw 5 touchdowns because I need him to go bankrupt and they can't pay any good player anymore. And Mahomes has to throw to like some undrafted free agents.
There you go.
That's my hope.
There you go.
All right, Chris. ALPA underscore QB1 for the Twitter. ALPA underscore QB1 for the Instagram. A little pocket awareness for the Facebook. Our Twitters, man. I forgot our Twitters at the beginning. At King Manelos for Twitter for Chris. Me, I'm at the Mark John NFL. Make sure you follow us on iTunes. A little pocket awareness. Hit the subscribe button. Make sure you follow us on Spotify. A little pocket awareness. Download every single episode you can. Leave us some reviews in iTunes. We need reviews. Make sure you check us out. We'll be back in a couple weeks.
Are we going to hit them with a recap of the Super Bowl next week, or are we gonna take a little time?
I got a Daughter's Whack Museum next week, man.
Okay, so
we're taking
a little time then.
Take a little time. We're going to let it breathe a little bit. Yeah. Then we're going to come back to next week. I'm going to give my first full quarterback breakdown. We're going to start off with Jordan Love.
Oh.
And we're going to give – and I'm going to go deep dive.
Now, if you want that draft content, the time has come.
We're here with the draft content. We're going to be breaking down these quarterbacks for sure, deep dives. We're going to go, maybe one a week,
We'll figure it out.
We'll get some news.
We got a few weeks.
Free agency. Quarterback free agency is about to be crazy.
We may take a few weeks ourselves.
Yeah, quarterback free agency is going to be crazy.
Yes,
so
it is.
March 3rd, we're going to be in here.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's going to be a wild time. So quarterback free agency is going to be wild.
February might be a little... But we're coming for you in March.
We're coming for you in March. We'll be back in March, all right? All right. Thanks for checking us out. We're out.